It is 3:09, 3:10. We are going to call the Electoral Board to order. I will call roll. Chairperson Catherine Aducci.
Here.
Member Respecio Vasquez.
Here.
And member Jonathan Keller.
Here.
All right. The chair obviously is in charge of this hearing and proceeding.
Is your microphone on?
Press.
Oh, yeah, press it. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to do my best to assist her in walking us through the basics of our initial hearing this morning. This hearing, for the record, is convened and the membership of this board constituted pursuant to the Illinois Election Code, 10 ILCS 28-4 and 10 ILCS 5, 10-8 through 5-10-10.1. And this electoral board proceeding is being conducted in accordance with the Illinois Open Meetings Act. I would like to ask the parties who are present today for this hearing, or their legal representatives, obviously, to identify themselves for the record. First, the principal proponent of the referendum petition, and I'm going to be referring to you as respondent, just so when I use that term, you understand what I'm using it for.
My name is Ross Seckler, S-E-C-L-E-R, appearing on behalf of the respondent and principal proponent, who is also here today.
Okay, and I believe you have already filed your appearance.
Correct.
Electronically. For the record, the legal counsel present for the objector.
Stephen Ledesinski, L-A-D-U-Z-I-N-S-K-Y.
Thomas Jaconetti, J-A-C-O-N-E-T-T-Y.
Thank you. We also have appearances now that you've got tendered yours, Mr. Jaconetti. We have appearances on file with the Electoral Board from both of you. On July 15th, 2024, a referendum petition proposing certain term limits for village president was filed with the Village of River Forest. On August 12th, 2024, an objection petition to that referendum petition was filed with the village as well. The filing of that election objection or petition then required the establishment and convening of this electoral board, this three-member electoral board, pursuant to the Illinois Election Code, to convene this hearing to consider the matters that have been raised in the objection petition. For the record, the required notices in this matter and the procedures followed to date have been as follows. You gentlemen are very familiar with our process. On Wednesday, August 14th, the chairperson was provided the objector's petition as required and the referendum petitions by the village clerk's office. As the chairperson of this electoral board, she then caused the following actions to be taken and confirmed by our office as legal counsel to the Electoral Board. On Wednesday, August 14th, I confirmed with both the respondent and the attorneys for the objector that they agreed to accept service in this matter by email. The respondent provided her attorney contact information at that same time. Thank you for getting right back to me. On Thursday, August 15th, counsel for this Electoral Board sent a call setting forth the date, time, and location of today's hearing to the members of the Electoral Board, along with proof of service on all the attorneys for the parties to the hearing. On Thursday, August 15th, I sent a copy of the call for this hearing to the respondent's attorney, Ross Seckler, along with a copy of the objector's petition and appearance form to be filed for this hearing, which has been filed, and the draft rules of procedure for the conduct of these proceedings, all by email. Receipt of the documents was acknowledged by Mr. Seckler by email. The email notification indicated that all filings with this electoral board should be sent by email to Deputy Clerk Luke Masella, with his email included, and to our office, my office, with my email, with copies of anything that's being filed to the other party. A copy of the service list for this hearing with email contact information was also provided. On Thursday, August 15th, I did the same for the attorneys for the objector. I sent a copy of the above call for this hearing to the objector's attorneys, Thomas Giaconetti and Stephen Ladazinski, along with a copy of an appearance form to be filed with this hearing, which has been filed since, and the draft rules of procedure for the conduct of these proceedings, all by email delivery. Receipt of the documents was acknowledged by both attorneys by email. I think actually, Mr. Ladazinski, you confirmed for both of you by email. The email notification indicated that all filings, as I indicated before, with this electoral board should be sent to Deputy Clerk Luke Vasella and to my office at my email address. A copy of the service list for this hearing with email contact information was also provided to both of you gentlemen. I hereby enter on behalf of the electoral board as Board Group Exhibit A, the email confirmation documentation I just referenced verbally, indicating the required notices to the members of the electoral board and the initial organization of this board. I hereby enter on behalf of the electoral board as Board Group Exhibit B, the specific email documentation consisting of the notices of this hearing, the draft rules of procedure, and other hearing-related information specifically provided to respondent attorney Ross Seckler and to Mr. Thomas Giaconetti and Stephen Ladazinski, along with their confirmation emails. On August 16th, 2024, the attorney for the objector, Stephen Ladazinski, filed his appearance electronically. On August 19th, Ross Seckler, attorney for the respondent, entered his appearance electronically, and I hereby enter those appearances along with the appearance tendered in person today by Thomas Giaconetti as Board Group Exhibit C, as the appearances of legal counsel for both parties. As required documentation for the hearing record, I hereby enter as Board Exhibit D, the original objector's petition, and the referendum petition. Those documents have been provided to the members of the board, the objector's petition, and the respondent's original referendum petition for their review before this hearing and at this hearing. At this time, I would like to, are there any issues regarding the entry of the notices as I just discussed?
None on behalf of the objectors.
Okay.
None for the respondent.
At this time, I would like to ask counsel for the respondent that they to confirm you have received notice of today's hearing and all the documents needed for you to proceed today.
Yes.
Mr. Seckler, yes?
Yes.
Attorneys for the objector?
Yes.
Thank you. Let the hearing or the record reflect that there's a court reporter present who's recording our proceedings. When the call was sent to the members of this electoral board and to the respondent and the objector, it was accompanied by a draft set of procedural rules. These procedural rules provide rules for introduction of evidence in this hearing, presentation of arguments, and in the board's discretion, filing of briefs and related matters. Are there any questions or issues concerning the draft procedural rules from the respondent, Mr. Seckler?
No, sir.
Are there any comments or questions or issues from the objector's attorneys?
No.
Are there any comments or questions from the members of the electoral board regarding your draft rules of procedure?
None.
Okay, thank you. I will now explain the process we propose to follow in this hearing. First, the electoral board will consider any initial or preliminary motions. Once those motions have been ruled on, we will proceed with the hearing and ask the objector to present her case, or the attorneys on behalf of the objector, since the objector has the burden of proof in this hearing. Next, the respondent will have the opportunity to present her case through her attorney. During the party's presentation of their positions, members of the board may ask questions or may ask for clarifying information. The board reserves the right to limit the arguments in this matter to a reasonable length or to limit redundant or irrelevant argument. Both sides will be given the same amount of time to argue their position. Once the presentations of the parties are completed, the board will consider all evidence that has been presented to it and determine if it would like the parties to present written briefs. That actually may occur before the presentation of the evidence, but we'll discuss that as we move forward. With legal authority to support their positions and or propose findings of fact and conclusions of law. Also, the board may set a schedule for submission of briefs if necessary and a reconvening of the board to dispose of any particular matter at any point in time. Alternatively, the board may discuss the objection and rule on it at any time deemed appropriate by the board. Before we move on, are there any questions at this point, Mr. Seckler?
Not at this point.
Attorneys for the objector?
Not at this time.
Okay. Are there any initial or preliminary motions by any of the parties at this time? I understand there has been a motion filed, correct?
Yeah, we've had actually filed two at this time.
Okay.
We filed one four, but we have our motion to disqualify the board chair, and then we did file a motion to strike and dismiss.
Okay. When did you file the motion to strike and dismiss?
Right before I left.
Yeah.
And I have paper copies of that as well.
Sure, okay, and there are people in attendance here, so I'm sure they want to understand what we're doing here. So can you explain the two motions that you have filed, what the substance of the two motions and purpose are?
Yeah. The first motion, the motion to disqualify, is statutory.
You don't have to argue the motion.
Just to explain, is statutorily, of course, the board chair is the village president by 10-9. We argue in the motion, basically, that based on case law, precedent that because of the nature of the proposed referendum question, the chair should recuse herself because it has to do with her office directly.
Okay, and did you provide a copy of that notice to the objector's attorneys?
Yes.
Okay. And then the other motion?
And the other motion is a motion to strike counts 1-3 of the objector's petition and subsequently a motion to dismiss the entirety of the objector's petition, which makes legal arguments as to counts 1-3, which are mainly, it seems, legal in nature, at least what it seems. And then the allegation, if you strike all of those counts, there are an insufficient number of individual signature objections that would render it possible to grant the relief request.
Okay. So we'll have to talk about the logistics of that motion regarding a potential records check. So have you received a copy of the motion to strike and dismiss the objector's attorney?
I see it in my email.
Have you opened it yet?
I've opened it, yes.
I haven't seen it either. And I assume the members of the board obviously haven't had a chance to look at that motion. We will get to these two motions today and decide how we are going to address them. For the record, can you, in summary fashion, identify for the board what evidence you propose to introduce in this matter? And I'll start with the objectors, just briefly, and identify if there will be witnesses, and you know at this time who those witnesses may be.
Yes. The objectors would be requesting subpoenas pursuant to Rule 8 related to circulators and circulated petitions to the voters of the village that had the referendum question marked answered as a yes, and also the notary that notarized the bulk of the signatures in this case, and I believe his name is John Hennick, H-E-N.
Okay. Do you have the request for the subpoenas or the draft subpoenas today? Or?
No, we will prepare a written motion and submit.
Okay. Anything else?
That will be it with regard to our evidence.
Can I ask, and if the electoral board members have any questions about the objector's petition at this point and its contents? I have a question about the objection that sets forth a problem with the notarization. Can you explain the nature of that objection?
Yes, petitions for referendum are to be executed in front of a notary that is a person that is licensed to administer oaths in the state of Illinois, and that notary is to follow the regulations under the Illinois Notary Act. And it's our allegation that the notary did not follow those procedures.
And again, without getting too granular, what wasn't, what is the violation that you're alleging took place?
So the violation was obtaining personal identification for each of the individuals and keeping a notary journal as required by law.
Okay. Anything else regarding your objection?
No.
Mr. Seckler, if you know at this point, what would be the nature of your evidence, if any, or your response?
We don't know necessarily at this time, other than I would say probably the results of any record examination if that were to occur, assuming that the objectors would want to use that too. But if that's not going to be necessary, then that's fine if they don't want to use that as their evidence. But that would be, we would obviously, just for the record, be objecting to those proposed subpoenas.
Sure.
Well, I think one thing for clarification, I think we interpreted your question to mean in terms of bringing witnesses as far as results of the record exam and then any colloquy that comes from that and rehabilitation or affidavits encountered. That's part of your rules.
Sure.
We presume that that's part of the evidentiary process.
Sure.
Also.
Right. So we're asking now, if you know that you have a witness or witnesses you'd be calling, we would ask you to identify them.
Right.
If
and at this point, no.
Sure. So as to the two motions, the motion regarding the service of the chairperson, we propose to reserve to the end of today's hearing so we can complete our business today. And then if, in fact, we need to take further steps regarding the chairperson's seat, we will do so. But I, speaking on behalf of the electoral board, we will do that at the end of today's business so we get as much done today as we can. Okay, with the current composition of the board.
If I may, in just respect, I don't necessarily object to that, given if there's no substantive rulings made today.
Understood.
However, I do caution the board that there's case law that if there's any substantive matters taken and decided upon by an improperly constituted board, it could destroy the entire decision one way or the other. I think that's the Girard case that way. And so just to caution, to, if you're going to do that, it can put the entire decision of the board at risk.
Sure. Point taken. So the other motion that you have filed, that you, Mr. Secretary, have filed, a motion to strike and dismiss, is it parts of the objector's petition? Does it attack the entire petition or parts of the petition?
It attacks the entirety of the petition in that if you remove the three counts and leave the line-by-line appendix recapitulation challenges, there are an insufficient number of individual signature challenges to get the referendum petition under the signature minimum. So it attacks the three other parts, but by removing, if you were to agree with our motion and strike those parts, then the entirety of the objector's petition should be dismissed.
All right, so let me ask the question this way, and to the members of the electoral board, you'll need to decide in what order you want to consider the issues in this case. It's possible that the issues that have been raised by the objector would obviate the need for a records check. Is that possible?
Highly unlike, well, I can't speak to how the results would be, but if the objector would proceed with respect to the notary, then no. There could be enough signatures that are implicated and removed because of improper motivation. So that's a possibility. The second is board's determination with respect to the various sheets as we've identified them in three different variations. Depending upon what the board does with that, it could be that there are sufficient objections. I think what Mr. Seckler is implying is that if you take those issues away in isolation, there's not.
So
it's possible that you might still want to send it to a record exam so you have the raw data that's necessary.
So here's the question we have. Whether or not, if we're going to send this for a records check, we're going to send it right away. We don't want to delay that unnecessarily. So the question is, should we send this for a records check and set a briefing schedule or whatever it is the board prefers to do at this point on the other issues that may be set forth in your motion to strike and dismiss? Or is it possible there is no need for a record check? So we need to hear from both sides, I guess, on that particular matter. Why don't we start with you, Mr. Sekler?
Well, I understand the need to move expeditiously, and obviously we'll comply with any order. There's going to be a records examination in the interim, just to get it done. However, given the nature of our motion, we would assert that it's not necessary, given the legal problems we identify in the motion to strike that we'll see with the, and the defects in the objector's petition.
Okay.
Given the small number of signatures involved, I don't believe it would be a lengthy record exam. It would probably be completed in a half a day. We would suggest that the board send it out for the records exam, and while the briefing is going on the motions.
Okay. So does the members of the board understand that the so there are a few issues.
Before we deliberate on this, I think it probably is best we address the first motion. I don't want to jeopardize.
Oh, I don't think there's any suggestion at this point that the board is going to rule on any substantive matter.
All right.
So this is still procedural.
Okay.
So the question is that there potentially is a records check involved here to review the challenges that have been raised to signatures, to individual signatures, registration of voters, residents within the Village of River Forest. If the board decides to send those signature challenges to the Cook County Clerk's office, you would order that to be done in this hearing or in a subsequent hearing. Then the Cook County Clerk's office will arrange for the review of those signatures. That's something they do and their staff does. The objector and the respondent have the ability to representatives present at those challenges to ensure that they agree or do not agree with the rulings that are made by the Cook County Clerk's office. And then those results come back to the board at a subsequent hearing for your review based on whatever the evidence is from the challenges. The motion to strike and dismiss that's been filed by Mr. Sekler is attacking, as I understand it, the three legal issues that have been raised in the objector's petition. So the question is, does the board want to read and review the motion to strike and dismiss, set a short hearing date on that motion to strike and dismiss, allow both sides to brief or otherwise address with written filings the motion to strike and dismiss, rule on the motion to strike and dismiss, and then decide whether to send this for a signature check or just send it now and also set a briefing schedule on the motion to strike and dismiss? Does that make sense?
It does. Does either side have an objection for having records checked?
At this time, I think when I heard the petitioner's attorney saying that it may not be needed if we make a ruling, assuming we rule in favor of his petition, then we may not need the records check, because then what the proposal is then that will dismiss or strike the objector's petition, am I correct?
So correcting me, assuming that you would object to having records.
Yeah, for the record, I do have to object.
Okay. I interject another thought here, and that is, as Mr. Lanziski pointed out, this is not a voluminous record exam. This is a very manageable number with skilled people on both sides. It probably takes a half a day, maybe a little longer. The second argument in favor is it gives you the raw data so that when you see what those numbers are after signatures are accepted or not, rehabilitated or not, it may be of assistance to you in the long-term determination of the various legal issues. The other thing, though, is this case is replete with several legal arguments. And able counsel, and I haven't read his motion yet, but knowing Mr. Sekler's work, I'm sure he has raised very interesting issues that have to be addressed. We will vigorously address whatever those issues are. There's the possibility that whatever happens, this goes up on judicial review to the court. And the difficulty at that point in time is, in terms of efficiency and use of this board's time, is if a record exam is needed, and it should come back on remand of some sort from the circuit court after the resolution of the legal issues, you're right back where you started. And I think that would argue in favor of let's get done what we need done quickly in the beginning.
Well, and I would add, I won't speak for you, Mr. Suckler, but if this matter is not timely resolved, that is not to your client's benefit if, in fact, you succeed. If this takes too long, it impacts the ability to place this on the ballot potentially. So I do think timeliness, as you know, timeliness in these proceedings is critical. So, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted somebody.
No. I was going to suggest that, with all due respect, about waiting, I'd rather request that the record check be done, just so that we have all the evidence, and we're not going to be waiting for that to be done step by step. I am concerned that, obviously, it's interested from, I think, from both parties to get this resolved as soon as we can. So delaying it further won't be as, at least not as expeditious and efficient. And so, therefore, I would request that we get the record checked at the same time. And plus, my concern, too, is that if it does go up, I'm assuming if people, one of the parties aren't happy with the decision, I think we should have a full record with all the data that we have, so.
Makes sense.
I would agree.
Member Keller?
I'm sorry, respectfully, I don't agree. It's a cart before the horse.
So what do you think I'd like to do?
I think I'd like to hear from both councils as to how quickly they could get through the objection, or the motion, excuse me. You know, the speed is of the essence. I think we need to do that first.
So, Member Keller, I would, I think Member Vasquez just raised a potentially important issue. That if this goes up, if either of the parties decide to appeal this matter to the circuit court, to be able to provide the circuit court with a full record, if the circuit court hypothetically does not agree with the decision of this board and changes the decision, they would have the ability to then examine the signature check if they needed to, based on the ruling that the circuit court might reach. So if they have a full record, it would not have to come back here for the completion of the records check. I don't know if that's relevant to how you want to proceed or not.
I definitely think it's relevant, but I also think that to get the records checked without knowing even if that's necessary doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay. So on this matter, you are involved in the discussion about whether or not this goes to records check now or not?
Yeah, I think I understand what John is saying. Let's get through some of the issues and then we can get to the records check. But I also believe what you just said, and you are the attorney for the electoral board, and I think you understand the legal issues and the, I think, more importantly, the timing issues. And I think that's where I'm leaning towards it. You know, we want to make sure that everyone has a fair chance at this and that there's all data available when we need it versus trying to get it later. So I'm leaning more to what our attorney has recommended.
I can appreciate that. And, timing issues probably shouldn't be driving the decisions at this stage.
But I think maybe, Scott, this is something that, if I understand correctly, is timing is of the essence, but I don't know, because of the...
If it goes, we can't predict whether it goes up on appeal, but if
right.
it were to, the timing becomes difficult, problematic. It could go up as far as the appellate court. It's not unusual for that to happen.
I can only predict what I can do today.
Okay. All right, so I think a motion would be in order just as to this limited issue, whether to send this for a signature check after you adjourn today and continue the hearing. And we would then schedule with the Cook County Clerk's Office the records check right away before your next hearing.
So you want me to make a motion now? I do move that a records check be made.
Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. Roll call on that motion. Chairperson Aducci?
Yes.
Member Vasquez?
Yes.
And Member Keller?
No.
Okay. So that that motion passes. Now, as to the motion to strike and dismiss, how to address that motion? Do the parties want to address that motion essentially as the case in chief here, meaning that the legal arguments that are made in the objector's petition and that are initially being raised in the motion to strike and dismiss are simply going to be taken as the case in chief, and you make your legal arguments as to those issues. You brief those matters and get ready to argue those at our next hearing. So we take the motion to strike and dismiss essentially with the case in chief.
That's fine. Yes. Yeah.
So in dealing with this as your case in chief, essentially, I'm thinking you may want to, you the objector, may want to file a brief in support of the arguments you're making in your petition.
We would respond to the motion to strike and dismiss.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Seckler? That's the order in which we do this. So there would be a response to your motion, and then you would have a reply. Okay. So the arguments that would then be addressed in your response, you the objector of attorneys, to the motion to strike and dismiss, are essentially your legal arguments supporting your legal positions in your petition, in your case in chief. So other than the records check itself, you would be preparing whatever written arguments you're going to prepare and assert regarding your legal arguments in your petition, and it's the same thing for Mr. Seckler, essentially his reply. Okay?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, but not to the exclusion of an evidentiary hearing on the records exam.
Correct.
And calling of witnesses.
Correct. So we will, the board is going to send this for a records review with Cook County. We need to set a continued hearing date then in this matter for the filings that are going to be made by both parties for consideration by the board and for your rulings at your next hearing. At the next hearing, you'll also be receiving the results of the records check. Now, I did contact the Cook County Election Department today to talk to Jim Nally and ask what the timing of a records check would look like in this matter. He indicated that he would be able to schedule this either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So the reconvening of this board, I think, would be Friday or thereafter, based on your schedules, the electoral board schedules.
Not this Friday, the following Friday.
Correct.
Okay. So looking at the 30s, am I correct?
Is that next Friday?
Yeah, August. Well, yes. This Friday is the 23rd?
Yes.
And then so
the 30th or thereafter.
Okay.
So I think we'll start up here with the electoral board members.
I'm available on Friday.
Okay.
And it's just on the motion. The motion to strike. Or are we going with the full hearing?
We'd be scheduling the full hearing.
Look, we can't schedule an evidentiary hearing until we rule on subpoenas and until we see the results of the record exam. Shouldn't we do things, motion to strike first, dispose of the legal issues, see what's left over, get our results, come back for an evidentiary hearing? That's what we would suggest.
All right, say that again, the order of the hearings.
You have a motion to strike and dismiss, which is a tax of the legal sufficiency.
Yep.
All right. It says whatever we said wrong. We're going to respond to that. He's going to reply. You'll have the opportunity to argue that. I think that's one whole clump of things. In the meantime.
You're right, your witnesses and subpoenas are going to be
subpoenas, witnesses, what does the record exam show? His potential rehabilitation of signatures with affidavits, that's like a whole separate thing, which probably I think is efficient on another day.
Right. So the next hearing actually is not depending on the completion of the records check.
No. That's right.
Although we can deal with the subpoenas and those other matters if we set the next date for beyond the records check. So it still makes logical sense, I think, to put it past the records check. We're looking at the 30th. That would work for you?
Fine.
That won't work for me.
Okay.
So I'll be out of town on the 30th. So I can, if you want to look at the 29th during the day, I'm fine.
I will make myself available.
Okay.
I have a conflict on that day that I'm out of town. I do come back that evening on the 29th. It is the first day after Labor Day, an acceptable day?
On the 3rd?
Yes.
Looking, and the answer to that is, well, at least I am. I'm available.
For the day or at night?
I can. Probably, I would say 10 o'clock in Athens. 10 a.m. in Athens.
I am unavailable on the 3rd.
On the 3rd?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Do you want this? So we're looking on Wednesday?
4th?
Yeah.
I'm available.
The 4th is fine.
Good.
Okay. You want to do it in the morning?
Whenever you're ready, Chris.
Okay.
Well, 10 a.m. works good.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. September 4th.
And that still would be just for arguments on the motion and receiving the results of the record examination?
Correct.
Okay.
And then it could be requests for subpoenas and related witness information at that point.
Yeah. We're going to file our motion in advance. So there would have to be I believe the rules provide 24 hours for an objection. And then if we could have a meeting in between just to rule on the subpoenas unless there's an agreement by the respondent on the subpoenas.
Right, so our rules do provide that each of the board members can weigh in on the issuance of a subpoena, and the chair can then decide to issue the subpoenas without us needing to reconvene. Open session. All right, so September 4th, 10 a.m., briefing on the motion to strike and dismiss. Schedule for the briefing, you asked for at least 3 days, correct?
Yeah, at least three, but based on the schedule now.
Right, so I'll make sure you get at least three when we set up the briefing schedule. How much time do you need for your reply, Mr. Sekler?
2 days.
So I'll make sure there's a minimum of 2 for your reply and a minimum of 3 for your response. Any other issues that need to be addressed? I'm going to ask the chair to address the motion to recuse in a moment, but are there any other preliminary matters for today? Mr. Sekler?
No.
And Mr. Lazinski or
no.
Mr. Jackson?
No.
You're just going to set the briefing schedules then?
Is that acceptable?
Yeah.
I'll just make sure you have, I'll send it out in writing. I'll send it out to the members of the board as well. And I'll make sure that those minimum time frames are in place. There should be more than enough time for that.
For business days, I assume. Not necessarily weekend days. No.
Yeah, so I'll make it business days. Okay. Since I hate math, I wasn't going to try to set out all the timing.
I have one question with regard to the adoption of the rules. Is the board going to adopt the rules today?
Yes.
Okay.
We did receive comments or. Both sides indicated you were okay with the rules as drafted. Is there a motion from the board to adopt the draft rules of procedure that were provided to each of the board members before today.
Sure. I move to adopt the Railroad Forest Municipal Office and Electric Board proposed rules of procedure for the Electric Board for this hearing.
Second.
Roll call on the motion. Chairman Aducci?
Yes.
Chairperson?
That's right. I said yes.
Member Vasquez?
Yes.
And Member Keller?
Yes.
Thank you. With that, I think we have addressed the issues that need to be addressed at this initial hearing, and I would turn this over to our chairperson to address the issue of recusal from this board, which the chair has already been considering before the board received a motion that she recused herself. So, why don't you go ahead.
Thank you, Attorney. Yes, following receipt of the motion that has been filed regarding my service on the board by the respondent of the referendum, I have chosen to recuse myself from further service on this board and participation in these proceedings, and ask that the remaining members of the electoral board act to fill my vacant seat on this electoral board and provided by law.
With that decision of the chair, I am going to ask for feedback from both parties, from the attorneys for both parties. The members of the electoral board are now asked under Order 21 to consider how to fill the vacant seat. There are, as I understand it or believe, the election code provides for one manner of filling the vacancy, the second most senior member of the Board of Trustees, and the circuit court order itself provides for the substitution of the chair by appointment of a public member in certain circumstances. In this case, we have three members of the Board of Trustees that have equal seniority as the second most senior members of the board. So the election code can be read then to mean that we do not have a second most senior member to fill the vacancy from the Board of Trustees. So I will leave this to, I haven't had a chance to talk to both Board Member Vasquez and Board Member Keller before we open the hearing today about this issue, and I will ask for your feedback on how you wish to proceed.
I would like and suggest that we ask the Chief Judge of Cook County to fill in the vacancy. The rules are very clear on how to fill that second, I guess the second longest serving trustee. It's not in the rules. I understand that some people may propose choosing lots or some other form of choice, but it's not outlined in the statute. What is outlined in the statute is that the choice of requesting the chief judge to appoint someone is. I'm concerned that if there's any question from either side, basically whoever is not successful in this hearing will have a potential objection because we didn't follow the statutory language of the rule, and I'd rather make sure that we avoid even the issue to be raised. Secondly, and probably maybe more importantly, is that with whoever the three, I understand there's three trustees that fit the category. I would rather have someone from the outside who's not affiliated with the village to serve in that capacity as someone who's objective, who wouldn't have any bias or any favoritism on either side of this hearing to be able to look at all the evidence and the law. And I would prefer that we get someone from the outside, and that would be my ask and my request to the position.
I concur.
very succinct to the point.
I don't say that.
And as to the question of whether either party wishes to comment on the manner in which the board proposes to proceed, I'll ask the objectors attorneys if there is any issue with the manner.
We have no issue.
Okay. Mr. Seckler.
We have no issue with the appointment of
since you asked
members,
for a public
if more of the board wants to recuse itself, it's more than welcome to do that.
I think this is just as to the chairperson's seat. And I will note that the individual that is appointed by the circuit court is designated by circuit court rule and the statute to serve as the chairperson to fill that role. So I will, at your direction, I will prepare a letter to be sent to the circuit court requesting the appointment of a public member before we reconvene. Okay. Any other comments, issues, or questions from the members of the electoral board?
No.
Good.
Any other comments, questions, or issues from the attorneys for the objector?
None.
And any from the attorney for the respondent?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attendance today, and I will send you the order regarding the briefing schedule. If there are any other questions between now, procedural questions between now and our reconvening, please feel free to reach out to me by email. If you do, I will. If you did not share the communication with the other side, I will. We have to make sure that both sides understand what communications are made with the electoral board. If you have any need to access the record that we made today and that we're making going forward, I will provide any records that you request that have been made part of this proceeding, the record of this proceeding. Okay? Thank you. So we need a motion to continue this matter to September 4th at 10 a.m.
I move to continue this hearing to September 4th at 10 a.m. Same location.
Second.
Okay, and now we only have two members of the board who are going to vote. Member Vasquez?
Yes.
And Member Keller?
Yes.
Thank you. We will see you at our next meeting. Are we convening here?